Welcome back to Unarmored Talk Podcast. Thank you so much for listening and watching each episode. And continue, please, to share with your friends and family members and colleagues. And don't forget to leave a rating or review if you feel this is a awesome show. And you can connect to all of my social media on the Parade Deck. Just look in the show notes, or you can put in the search engine Mario P. Fields Parade Deck and get all access to my social media. Well, let's get ready to interview another guest who is willing to remove their armor to help other people. Welcome back to Unarmored Talk Podcast, everyone. Hope you guys are doing well as you're listening or watching this episode. We have another guest who is willing to remove their armor to help folks, right? Listeners and viewers, understand. We all are emotional, man. While living, we all have our own unique experiences, but to think through a lot of them is a choice. We have today Larry Hamilton III. He's a Marine Corps veteran. We also serve together everywhere, even if we didn't. I love this guy. And here's another thing, he didn't see this one coming. He is the number one donor for Still Serving Incorporated. Larry has been donating to Still Serving Incorporated since 2018. Larry, I love you, man. Welcome to the show, bro.
Thank you, Mario. It's a pleasure to be here. You know, and it was an easy thing. You know, you just asked for a dollar a month. It wasn't even a dollar a day. I could have done a dollar a day. I just like, well, you know, I'm going to have a dollar. I'm going to give it this, you know, got to give this measure.
Man, you're bringing back memory. I still remember 6 years ago when I said, just donate a dollar. I remember I started the donate a dollar campaign, and you've done a lot more than a dollar. Again, thank you for your service, my friend. You know, Semper Fi up front, Larry. It's people like you, man, that's really helped us make an impact in Pitt County, North Carolina. So, again, just thank you before we get into the show. But can you tell listeners and viewers just a little bit about yourself?
Sure, of course. So, you know, Larry Hamilton III, I was born Boise, Idaho for about a year. I claim Northwest Portland. Spent a lot of time in Vancouver, but Northwest Portland, just over there on the end of 23rd, over by I-5 is kind of where my stomping grounds were. Graduated high school, you know, went to college. And, you know, they say you go to high school, you go to college. Every time you take a class, you get a syllabus, right? It tells you everything you need to know. This is what you got to do. This is how you do it. This is what's going on. You're practicing this. You turn 18, you go into life, and there's just no syllabus. You know, I kept waiting for the mailman to bring my syllabus for life, you know, and they don't tell you, you know, what a lot of maturity means and how hard things can get and all, you know, all the pressures of life. So, you know, I was a sharp kid, always been sharp, you know, nothing, getting in any trouble, but I didn't have something I needed for schools. So, you know, I kind of floundered for a minute and then woke up one day just out of the blue and was like, I can join the military. I walked in the recruiter's office, said, give me open contract. I'm trying to go back to school, trying to figure it out. You know, did my beautiful service in the Marine Corps, you know, did my best from 110% from start to finish, left with some beautiful benefits, so much so that I was able to do more than go to just back to college. I got to go to culinary school. I was blessed to go to the best culinary school in the world, Culinary Institute of America. I was a graduate, you know, worked through a lot of my issues. And now here I am at Oregon State, back in my dream, studying biochemistry, going to be a research doctor one day, you know, and here we are.
Yeah. Well, you are so intelligent. I mean, people always say, Mario, I look up to you. Well, first of all, I literally look up to all of y'all because I'm 5'2". So we're going to be accurate here.
But it's gravity. It weighs you down. The gravity of all that stature in spirit accord, it affects your height after a while.
Wow, man. Let's jump right into the topic.
Sure.
This journey of, is this right for me? This, you know, this, let me try this. And I love how you said that the mailman or mailwoman that had my syllabus for life never showed up.
You know, it's just, it's something you don't think about, you know, and it's, I think that's really what I got out of the Marine Corps. That I don't know if I was really, it's rare that I go into a place other than the grocery store and have an expectation for what I want to get out of it. You know, I joined the Marine Corps. I said, well, I want to go to college. Just, I'm going to be me. I'm going to do the best that I can. And And I think that's a lot of the reason why it was such an successful, such a successful opportunity, not just, you know, in the basis of life, but as myself as a man, is I went in with an open mind, an empty teacup, and, you know, and that's really what it gave me, was that syllabus for life. It taught me, you know, I had these things within me, these, you know, these, this perseverance, this courage, but it taught me how to quantify it. It taught me how to, it refined it. It taught me how to have confidence. It taught me, you know, my favorite thing is it gave me a BS meter. You know, I think so many people go into situations and job fields and out in the world, and they don't really know what to do. They don't have that syllabus. They don't have that compass. And so what they do is you start following, you know, it's like, okay, I'm going to be like these people. And then once you start following, it's hard to stop. You know, it's like, well, if I make these people upset, or if I, you know, go away from the cool kids club or whatever that might be, even if I don't like what they're doing in any small sense, then what am I going to do? I don't know how to swim. And that's what it gave to me, is it taught me, you know, honor and, you know, integrity, and how to know right from wrong, and how to go through my life and make the right choices, and how to have, you know, my character not slip. You know, at the time it was protect what you learn was the posters that were all around the Marine Corps. And that's just something that stuck with me, is, you know, it's like, you know, sustain the transformation, and you know, it just, it gave me that syllabus. And so I think there's just,
And the thing too, you're mentioning our soft skills that are in high demand. They're in high demand around the world. Active listening, you know, punctuality, resilience. I'm telling you, there's a lot of companies that are hiring for those skills you just mentioned. But now, from my basic understanding, we all have some turbulence. I use that metaphor, but from my basic understanding, and Erwin, by the name, his nickname is Ducky. And so for the rest of the show, I'm going to refer to Larry as Ducky. Was there anything that you had to deal with that started to make your path to success a little challenging?
You know, there's a lot of things, you know, and I think that it took me, especially coming out of the Marine Corps, it took me pretty much till late last year to really start get a handle on what are some of these drags, these barriers, you know, to my success and my health. And I think a lot of people are going to relate to this. And substance abuse was a huge issue for me. You know, I went through addiction programs. You know, I had a problem with alcohol, where just, and if I had a problem, it was just, you know, shut it down and ignore it. And that really, you know, got my way for a long time. You know, and so I absolutely did. I actually had a history of substance abuse. I'm happy to say that I've recovered. I wouldn't call myself an alcoholic or an addict. You know, so we can get into some programs and things like that about, they call it harm reduction, you know, and we can get into the weeds in that here in a minute, but I just want to answer questions. Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, now, where do you believe this started? Like, do you believe it's, you know, at what point in your life, when you look back, where do you believe, man, this is where this thing started?
Absolutely. You know, I think, unfortunately, in an ideal world, everything about a childhood and a growth in the development process will be perfect. Every human being will get the perfect conditions and all the things they need and all the support. So when they enter adulthood, they get a fair chance. And that's just not how it goes. Anybody. And unfortunately, right. You know, my home life just wasn't perfect. It wasn't as bad as some people, you know, but, you know, my mother was a brilliant person at one point. Her name is Jennifer. But the woman I know was an addict of a real variety and a narcissist. So, you know, I kind of grew up.
Wow.
You know, that's why I started cooking. You know, I have a little brother. He's about 3 years younger than me. So about 5 years old, you know, we were just hungry and mom was passed out doing whatever. So I started cooking. I couldn't even reach. I see it clear as day where, you know, the stove was taller than I was. And I was getting up there making spaghetti. And I don't know how I didn't drop a pot of boiling water on me.
Wow.
My little brother was just hungry and I got tired of it, started cooking, you know, and that kind of started that journey. And that's that personal exploration I did, where I just want to learn how to cook and kind of solve some of those things. And I think subconsciously what I'm going to get into was me trying to deal with some of those issues too, you know, trying to heal some of that trauma and pain. My father, you know, he's a very successful person. And I think that he's great at a lot of things. And I just think that being a father is not one of them. You know, he's really good at accomplishing missions. what he's not good at is, my point is going to be here, is emotional support, you know? And so growing up, you know, lacking one parent, a parent that kind of saw everything through finance and numbers, what I found lacking, especially when I look back, is that emotional intelligence, that emotional resiliency, that emotional development where I'm feeling these are these emotions, these are how to properly deal with them, you know, and I'm allowed to feel these things. So I grew up kind of like not being allowed to feel. If I was feeling, it was shut down. If I was angry, I was not allowed to be angry. If I was sad, I was not allowed to be sad. If, you know, if I was scared, I had to kind of just be business all the time. And so, you know, I grew up kind of with just all this repressed, you know, going to college. And I think it's a lot of the issues that I had when I first went to college is that, you know, I had finally, you know, I dreamed of getting out of the house my whole life. And I finally got out of there. And I think it all, once I felt safe after like a month and a half, all these things just start coming pouring out. And I just, you know, I broke down. I didn't know what was going on. I really think that was a start. You know, there's some things, you know, I'm going to get a little cheesy. I'm not going to say her name. She's married now and all that stuff. But there was a girl that I met, and I swear I fell in love with her at first sight, you know, and I've never had somebody make me feel the way that she did. And to this day, you know, and this was, you would think this thing would pass, you know, looking back at, I know now at the time, you know, you think there would be somebody else. And for some reason, I just have never been able to shake it. You know, it gives me a lot of strength and perspective. But I remember that happened in, you know, my late teenage years. And after that, when it didn't work out, you know, she didn't feel the same way. I don't blame her. If you saw this woman, you understand. This woman is an angel on earth. But, you know, I started drinking. I started experimenting with drugs. And I think that was really what started it. That was like the break where, like, I didn't know how to handle these emotions. I didn't know how to handle these fears, these feelings of inadequacy, and all these things. And so I looked for a way to solve it. And this is my thing, is that, you know, I don't want to you know, some of these things you got to take them with a grain of salt, because there are real addicts out there. They're real alcoholics. And you know, I don't want to give them, you know, a gateway out of their sobriety. But, you know, it's just not the same for everybody. You know, they say I went through Alcoholics Anonymous for about a year, year and a half. And it's a great program. It gets you clean. It works. But a lot of those stuff is rooted in the 1930s and has not really changed. Right. And if you look back in the 1930s, the state of, you know, largely men were running the program. You know, of course, we've had a gender reformation and a lot of things have changed since then. But they mental health was not a thing. Right. People did not really support mental health. People did not understand addiction. These things are, as professionals will tell you, since the 80s have really bloomed. But, you know, 1930s, a long time ago, you know, where they say, you know, it's just on or off. And I, the top, like the thesis I want to say here is, like, you know, there are people who have addiction issues. So they're alcoholics, and alcohol causes their problems. So the root of that issue, to solve that problem, you got to remove the alcohol. Then there are people who have problems that don't know how to solve them. And so as a human being, we look for what we know and the tools that we have, the sticks and the stones, and they can pick something like alcohol, like I did. So I have these problems and I'm solving them with alcohol. Now, no, that's a much different story, right? And I think the issue is not having the ability to solve those problems in the first place comes from that lack of emotional intelligence, that lack of help, that lack of, you know, the therapy that we need and the education that is just still not as colloquial. It's out there, but it's not, you know, hand in hand knowledge with everyday life.
And I'm glad you brought up a very interesting point that is so relevant to this podcast. And first of all, you know, when I hear these journeys of childhood and things you had to deal with, man, my heart, you know, I feel an emotion of mixed emotions. But a couple of things, I bet you're a great cook, man. I would love it. You tell me how much and I'm paying for you. But the thing you mentioned, though, is the skills to understand the emotions. Not having the skills to think through the emotions, and then the not having those skills led to a choice of whatever for you, substance abuse, because of lack of those skills. That is interesting in how you describe that. The other thing I love how you mentioned is how people, we all have problems, but the substance is not the solution. Well, some of us believe it is. But like you said, it is not the solution. And so I just wanted to highlight those couple of points, because that's powerful. And then last, there's an amazing network that I'm starting to work with a lot with, and I want to do some more great things in the future. It's called NGBN-TV. And the reason why I brought that up, NGBN-TV. The reason why I brought that up is because you hit a critical point, Ducky. It's that platform is designed for mental health support, awareness, live streaming, if you will, for men in their 40s, 50s, and 60s because of what you just highlighted. It's mm-hmm. how you're a man, right? Men don't cry.
Especially the veterans. You know, we just
and a Marine.
No malingering, right? No malingering.
Real Marine. Suck it up. What you doing? You doing crying? So now let's talk about what you were mentioning about the mindset of these programs to help. I love your approach to the mindset. Let's talk a little bit about that.
Sure. So, you know, the bottom line is that when you're in those dark places and you're using substance abuse, it's reached a point where it's really impacting. There does need to be a heart stop, right? And that's the thing that people that I like these programs for is that they're really good at getting you to that clean point, because regardless of all the semantics of, you know, is somebody an alcoholic, an addict, got some issues, substance abuse, you know, mental health, you can't get to the root of problem when it's covered in alcohol or drugs or any of these things. And so, you know, the first step is to ask for help somehow. Right. And so, you know, these really concrete old school programs like Alcoholics Anonymous, you know, they are very rigid in how they view addiction and alcoholics, and they do it their way, and there's not a lot of discussion. And so, you know, whenever I talk to people about, you know, getting through a lot of these issues, the first thing I tell them is, yes, get dry, right? Get sober, hit that meeting, get your 30 days, get your 7 days, you know, or get your 1 day, get your 30 days, whatever it is. And then once you have gotten through the withdrawals, pretty much, make sure or immediately start finding, you know, a mental health professional. Go find that therapist, because they have an unbiased perspective. You know, it's the Alcoholics Anonymous is really good at what they do, but they're rigid, and they don't, I don't know why they don't update their program to monitor things. Maybe there's a reason, you know, that getting in all those politics and opinions is not really what I want to focus on. But yes, they're very rigid, but there are other things, you know, and there's been a lot of development since the 1930s, and you just won't find it in that program. It's one tool. And I think that issue confuses a lot of people. So, you know, I went and got a therapist. I got a drug and alcohol counselor. I have a psychiatrist, all these professionals I was talking to. We got into some things like harm reduction. We got into these things. We start talking about emotional intelligence. We start talking about the root of my problem. We start talking about PTSD. And so, you know, harm reduction, just real quick, is this idea, especially if you talk about Marines and people from the military, we're very regimented. You know, we have a schedule, we have a routine. And when you talk about, you know, these tools we have, where all of a sudden you're supposed to drop, you know, this thing that's crushed, something that had bring you peace and serenity to help you sleep, it can be very inconsistent. And there's a, you know, I'm going to go out and I'll find some data and I'll send you an email to show you some of these numbers. But, you know, the amount of people who don't make it cold turkey like you're supposed to do at Alcoholics Anonymous is extreme. So what harm reduction is like, okay, you've been doing this a long time. I don't expect you to go from 100 to zero. Let's go. You're drinking 7 days a week, you know, 30 beers a day or whatever. Let's try doing, you know, 20 beers a day, 5 days a week. And let's try that for, you know, and so you can kind of space it out and slow it down. And it's like, all right, let's try, you know, only drink on the weekend. And you kind of, and let's try being sober for a while. And now let's look at and see if we can get to the root of these problems. And that was very helpful to me. You know, I think that the idea that everybody just now call it, if you have a, you know, like it's this switch where it's, you know, you're going to have one beer one day, it's one too much, and you're just broken, you know, and that's not the truth. For some people, it is. It's very important that I say that some people need to stop and allergic to it. You know, I'm very fortunate because I love myself a good glass of beer at the end of a hard work day. But, you know, it was something, this is something that the other point is, this is not something I just decided was for me, right? I went to years and years of therapy, you know, years of practice, years of going and learning about these programs and, you know, working on my health and being open and completely honest with my mental health professionals, where we agreed that I did not follow the trends of an alcoholic, you know, where we agreed where, okay, these are the addicts you haven't really ever followed. You know, I didn't really ever follow what the on paper, it looks like an alcoholic, but we weren't, you know, it takes time and data to reach a conclusion, you know. So I was very lucky, you know. It's something that can always change, you know. I could go out there and fall apart and things can change, but this right. It's important that, you know, you got to work with the professional and take their advice and be honest. And I was lucky enough that we got to the point where it's like, okay, we don't think you're an alcoholic, you know. And you know, I was misdiagnosed bipolar disorder for a lot of those issues, you know, at the time. Something, especially on, and that's another thing, especially among Black people, you go into the health, you see, I have all these issues. Bipolar disorder is really easy to treat. You just throw a pill at somebody and it shuts them down. But it gets misdiagnosed. It's misused a lot. So that's something to look out for. You know, wow. You know, I got sober, got, you know, a lot of these issues went away, diagnosed with ADHD, you know, on the addiction thing. So I'm on a lot of methylphenidate, Ritalin a day, you know, and going to work for PTSD. And for me, when I got properly diagnosed, that's when all my issues went away, because I wasn't drinking to get rid of anxiety. I wasn't drinking to calm down and not be hyperactive. I wasn't drinking to deal with my triggers of trauma. I wasn't drinking to go to sleep. I drink because I like wine and I like food and I like, you know, going out to the pub. I drink because I like it, not to as a medicine. And that's where I kind of broke through my substance abuse issues, as I like to put them. So wow. I think the question was, you know, what some of the mentality of these systems, and I'd say, you just got to find a mental health professional, be completely unarmored with them, and they'll take you away.
Ducky, you know, that's why I love, for me, I thank God for this ability to have this show, because I learned so much when I interview each guest, and I learned so much when you said harm reduction approach. Never heard that before. Powerful. And I love how you chose. You know, you weren't rigid. You chose to ask for help, to remove your armor. And the beauty of Ducky, what you just, man, just you know, we just discussed listening to you is how, before you said it, I used to always believe, go in cold turkey. I never thought of, okay, Mario, let's walk a half a mile today because you got high blood pressure. Or you're addicted to French fry. You know, addiction is addiction.
Right.
And then I love how you said, now, Mario, I have a glass of wine, right? I have a beer, but that's an intentional choice. And I'm enjoying it, not to use it as a medication to some things going on. Ducky, I know you're having fun in the world. I will have you on this show forever, but I'm not going to do that to you and the previous guest, because that's me being selfish. If you had any one last piece of advice, if you will, mm-hmm. to give listeners and viewers before I let you go, continue to have fun, what would you give them?
You know, I've thought about this, and what I would say is that, you know, I'm going to say something dangerous because I want to be real, to be honest, you know, especially in the veteran community. You know, the other issue we have is with mental health and not getting help is suicide, right? And so what I'd say is that, yes, there's a pathway to help. And I'm going to just go out and say this. If there's anybody out there that's struggling and wants to get healthy, but you're having that bad day where, you know, that you're looking at the wrong end of a weapon system and what you're used to, if you need to go have a beer over killing yourself, especially in the veteran community, you know, we had our own issues, we have our own culture. You know, go get the help you need. But if what gets you through the night is half a bottle of Jack or whatever it is, I'd much rather you start over, do what you got to do to get through the night and get help tomorrow, especially when, you know, tomorrow will be different. You can get down, you can do your thing, you know, and respect to that slogan, you know, and just try again tomorrow. You know, I think that there's this you know, a lot of shame that comes into it. You know, you go to the doctor, oh, I drank again. Well, nah, it's like, no, listen, life is not that easy, especially among, you know, men, especially among the Marines, you know, people of minorities and all these, you know, it's just, at the end of the day, it's point A to point B in life. You don't got to be perfect, don't got to be forever, just got to do your best. And I think that, you know, a lot of shame, a lot of stigma with this stuff, you know, the help is there. Talk to the professionals, use the programs and the tools, be honest with yourself. You know, obey the orders of your doctor, whoever it is, let them make the decisions. And most of all, survive to tomorrow. Well, however you got to get through it.
I love it, Ducky. You guys heard it. Hey, if you got a choice between taking your life or everything else. Let's try. Let's go here. We're good with a half a bottle of beer. At least we can talk to you tomorrow morning. And instead of, like you said, it's the Ducky, instead of you drinking five beers a day, let's start working with four a day. Harm reduction. Man, I love you, man.
Love you too, Mario. Appreciate it.
I love you, Ducky. Well, everyone, again, I hope you guys learned something. Please share this with your friends and families. There's 8.5 billion humans on this earth, and there's 8.5 billion, my belief, of people who need to hear this. Ducky, have a wonderful day. We'll talk after the show. You guys know the deal. God bless you all. God bless your families, and may God continue to bless your friends. We'll see you later. Thank you for listening to this most recent episode. And remember, you can listen and watch all of the previous episodes on my YouTube channel. The best way to connect to me and all of my social media is follow me on the Parade Deck. That is www.paradedeck.com, or you can click on the link in the show notes. I'll see you guys soon.